Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It is the football review show. We're going to be reviewing all the weekend's Allianz National Football League action. And of course, the last weekend of the Allianz National Football League until the finals. Obviously, the finals happening this coming weekend. But for today, we're going to be reviewing the final day. It was a bit of a mental final day in more ways than one. Maybe not as exciting as previous years in terms of teams changing position and everything else. But there certainly was a lot to play for and a lot to review and obviously a lot to discuss. So, yeah, I'm joined by Matthew Hurley from the Gaelic Statsman podcast, who's here to review the weekend's action alongside myself. Matthew, I suppose, a weekend where everything went to plan, which doesn't often happen in the GAA.
Exactly so, and yeah, thanks for having me on again, Aaron. It was a decent enough weekend. Even looking at the games, like I went to the Armagh Cork game, probably didn't mean much in the grand scheme of things, but that was a great game of football. You know, even seeing some Monaghan and Mayo, even though that wasn't shown on League Sunday, that was a great game of football and there wasn't much riding on it. So I suppose like the less pressure you're on, more or less, the more entertaining the game will be. And I suppose Derry hammering Roscommon, didn't expect to see that in the second half, especially after Roscommon's performance in the first one. Division 3, like Down, easily got past Clare. Like Westmeath losing to Sligo was probably the shock of the weekend, in all honesty. I did get the controversy of Division 4 when you look at an instance from weeks ago with Wexford and Leitrim. So, yeah, a lot to delve into and looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, like anyone who's tuning in, let us know in the comments what you thought of the weekend's action. And of course, let us know, in terms of the league finals and everything else, what your predictions will be going into that. But yeah, I suppose we'll start with Derry Roscommon. It was Derry 2-19, Roscommon 1-9. Derry with a more than comfortable win versus Roscommon. Very comprehensive stuff from a Derry perspective. Roscommon started a little bit strong, like they responded obviously to that early Derry goal. They managed to get themselves back level at the start of the second half, but Derry after that were by far the better side and completely dominated Roscommon. I mean, I think they outscored them 111 to a point from about the 40th minute onwards. So yeah, like very, very good win for Derry, considering they didn't really, I know obviously there was a slight chance they could have missed out in the league final. But I think all in all, I think most people knew that they were going to get into that league final. A very comprehensive win and, yeah, not a good look for Roscommon.
Not really. And especially the first half performance, you would have thought that Roscommon would have at least come out with a bit of fight. And they really didn't in the second half. It was just Derry were the much better team. Like 218 from playoffs, seeing on League Sunday last night is absolutely incredible as well from Derry. And they just show why they're serious All-Ireland contenders. Like even without Shane McGuigan being in top form, you still have Lachlan Murray scoring one goal and 4 points. You still have Declan Cassidy hitting the back of the net. You still have other players performing all over the pitch. Conor Glass, Brendan Rodgers had another good game yesterday. Like Derry have an abundance of talent and they have like scores other than Shane McGuigan to boot as well by the looks of Lachlan Murray. And could there be an argument for him to start the team? And even Niall Toner scoring 3 points last week against Mayo. So, like, Derry do have very good options in the forward line. They look exemplary, as I said there, even going into an Ulster Championship game against Donegal after, obviously, the league final next week against Dublin. They look like they're really unstoppable in Ulster. And it's going to take a superb performance to beat them. And Mickey Hart has this team drilled down to a T. As for Roscommon, again, another strange interview from Davy Burke last night, saying that it was the best 50 minutes performance that his team ever gave on League Sunday. And I thought, look, why are you actually saying those things when you're relegated? You know, Roscommon finished third last season. There was onus to maybe push on this season, and in the end, they got relegated. Without much of a fuss, really, when you look at the last few performances, and that's the most damning thing. Like you look at the game against Kerry, that wasn't really a good performance going in Dr. Hyde Park. Even after Carl Heenan's goal, they still didn't push on after that. And that performance of the second half, in particular against Derry, I don't know, was it tiredness? Did the players down to? I don't know, honestly. But it was really, really poor. They have a lot of fixing up to do before they face Mayo or New York in the Connacht Championship. You would imagine that would be Mayo. So, like, Davy Burke has a lot of work to do in general for this Roscommon team. I don't see them doing well in the Championship this year, Aaron. And even I thought about this last night, even going out to Seamus' channel as well, that the results last year in the Championship, the last two results against Kildare and against Cork, kind of derailed this team. And they kind of thought, like, we had a brilliant year, but ended up losing to Cork and Parky Keefe. Like, what was that for? And now this season, the confidence has started to drain a bit. And I just feel something's just not right in Roscommon. Even look at the post-match interviews, the stuff that the shenanigans that went on with Cathal Heenan last week. It all seems to be going wrong for Roscommon at this present moment of time. And yeah, they're down. They probably deserve to go down. And yeah, they, like, some people were actually arguing that Roscommon could be going down to Division 3. I wouldn't go that far now. I do think these were comments on social media or whatever saying that Roscommon could easily, you know, slip down a treadmill almost like Kildare did this season. But I don't see it, honestly. I don't think Roscommon will go down to Division 3. I think they're better than Cavan. I think they're better than Loud. I think they're better than most teams in Division 2. So I think they'll be fine in that regard. The question is, will they come straight back up? And to that answer, I don't think it's as easy as saying Armagh and Donegal will go back up this year. I think Roscommon will find it very hard Division 2 next year. But as I said about Derry, they look a serious force at the moment. And someone actually asked me earlier on Instagram Q&A and stuff like that, if Derry beat Dublin next week in Croke Park, would you consider them all out of contenders then? It's an interesting question to answer that.
Absolutely, yeah, no, like, and yeah, look, I do agree as well. Like, I don't really understand what Davy Burke was on about, in all honesty. Like, and I've been a big fan of Davy Burke since, you know, coming into Roscommon. He obviously done a very good job with Wicklow, done a very good job with the Kildare under-20s as well. But yeah, like, at the start of the league, he was coming out with post-match interviews where he was going mad at the players, saying, you know, he'd, what, 65 training sessions and all this stuff. And now he's kind of gone the complete role reversal when his team probably maybe deserves a bit of criticism. So it was a little bit bizarre, to be honest, like saying it was the best 50 minutes of his team all season. You know, like Gaelic football is obviously a 70-minute match, and, you know, for the final 20 minutes, they were absolutely atrocious, really. Like, it was a very embarrassing last 20 minutes. I mean, they scored just a point. And, like, from looking at, you know, the highlights on Allianz League Sunday, and obviously for anyone who was at the game, they can let us know, but it just looked like Roscommon lads were jogging around, and it didn't really look like they were bothered at all. And I think that would just be really worrying, because Mayo obviously coming up in a couple of weeks, provided they beat New York. I think a lot of people would expect Mayo to beat New York, let's be honest. So, I mean, at the Hyde as well, like, you want the Roscommon lads bang up for it, because if they're not up for it, they could be on the receiving end of a hiding, and to be on the receiving end of a hiding to Mayo and Championship would be absolutely disastrous, I think, for Roscommon.
And let's not forget, it's happened already this season in the league. They got a bit of a hiding in McHale Park. So lightning can strike twice. Like, it doesn't seem to be improving for Roscommon. It kind of, and I agree with you on your points there, and as the league has gone on, Roscommon's performances have actually got worse. And you would have thought they would have got better a small bit, considering, like, they needed a fight to stay in the division. And I would just feel like things are just off there. Like, the management, the sideline, the players just jogging around, as you mentioned yesterday. Like, it doesn't seem to be clicking at this present moment of time. And when you have players like Enda Smith, he scored 110 from play this year in the Allianz League, one of the top scorers from play. But all the stuff can't go through him. Other players have to step up. And to be fair, Darragh Craig has done so in the league and in the Sigurdsson Cup, so that's one. But then when you look at other players, Donny Smith, I know, scored a goal yesterday, but hasn't done well in the last few seasons, let's just say. Connor Cox as well has gone off the ball altogether. And there's a few players that just don't look interested, as you mentioned there, and that's a worrying sign. And with Mayo coming to town most likely in a few weeks' time, Roscommon have to be up for it. There's no doubt about that. And the worrying thing is, actually, they were up for it more so last year against Galway in the Connacht semi-final, and they ended up losing that game. Imagine if they trot into Hyde Park with a negative kind of attitude against a Mayo team that actually look to be steaming along okay at the moment under Kevin McStay. So, like, it doesn't look good for Roscommon. It really doesn't, even going into the Connacht Championship, and even further afield, going into the Sam Maguire Cup. It doesn't look good to be a Roscommon fan right now. They could Like, if they come up against, let's say, a Dublin, a Kerry, a Derry in the All-Ireland Championship, they could get a serious hiding if they're on form, if they're on top form. So I wouldn't be confident if I was a Roscommon fan at this present moment of time. I thought, honestly, at the start of the league, in my predictions, that was one of a few predictions I got right, thank God. I said Roscommon would go down, but I thought they'd go down with a bit of fight. I didn't think they'd go down like this. Honestly, it was really, really poor though yesterday. And I know they're facing one of the best teams in the country in Derry, but at least, you know, run for the ball, at least challenge for the ball. It was just poor times from Roscommon. And I don't know how Davy Burke is going to fix this. Maybe he'll come up with another excuse in the post-match interview. Let's see.
Yeah. Like, I mean, 1 point in the final 20 minutes just really isn't good enough. And I know, obviously, they're missing Ben O'Carroll. Like, I'm not entirely sure what's happening with him. Like, he hasn't featured for Roscommon, I think, since the Sigerson Cup final. So I'm not entirely sure what's happening there. They obviously don't have Kieran Murtagh at the moment as well. So, like, Roscommon have lost key players and everything else. And we'll wait and see what happens going into the championship, in fairness. In terms of Derry, though, like, really, really top-class performance. Like, you can't, as much as we criticise Roscommon, you can't take anything away from Derry. And I think, like, if anything is to come from the league for Derry, regardless of what happens, obviously, in the league final next week, because I think the most important thing, realistically, for Derry is the All-Ireland and the Ulster Championship and everything else. But, like, Lakeland Murray scoring 1-5, Ethan Doherty 3 points, Cassidy with 2 points. I mean, like, even without Shane McGuigan obviously played and scored 4 points, but, like, they're finding scores, like aside from him. And, like, that's the most positive thing for Derry, because I think last year and in previous years, a lot of people were labelling Derry and saying their only real attacking threat is Shane McGuigan. But you look at them now, they seem to have multiple ways to score now.
It's funny, actually. The stats won't tell you that way, because other than Shane McGuigan, no other Derry player has scored more than 10 points. And McGuigan himself has scored 2 goals and 40 points in the league. And the closest to him, you have to double check this, but I think it's Conor Glass with 1-6. And joined with that is Conor McCluskey with 3 goals. So, in the league campaign, that is. So, like, but judging by that, Derry don't have a score adequate. But when you look at the number of scores that they have, it's over 20 at this stage. Mm. Like, players are chipping in all over the field. Like, Chrissy McCaig has got a point in this league campaign. Owen McAvoy's got a goal in this campaign. McCluskey, as I mentioned, has got 3 goals and nearly been a revelation going up forward. Conor Glass, from his club form with Watty Grahams Glynn, he looks in incredible form at the moment. So does Brendan Rodgers in midfield. And then you add on Emmett Bradley to that as well. And I think, honestly, and I think someone mentioned this, I think Sean Kavanagh actually did on League Sunday last night, the momentum that Watty Grahams Glynn got from the club championship might drive Derry on to even for bigger and better things. Because it looks that way at the moment. They look sharp. They look hungry. Like, the players that were in the Glynn team look even more determined to get a Sam Maguire Celtic Cross to their name. The likes of Ethan Doherty, the likes of Conor Glass, the likes of even Eunan Mulholland, who's in and around the panel, so is Conlon McGuckin. Like, that's the thing as well. Like, players might be not playing or start in the starting lineup, but they're still contributing when they come on the pitch. Cormac Murphy, prime example in this league campaign as well. So I do think Derry are in a very good place at the moment. I would rank them probably just below Dublin at this present moment, just how good Dublin are at this juncture. We'll get on to Dublin in a sec. But, like, Derry look absolutely outstanding. And even with that tough game against Donegal coming up in a few weeks, I'd still fancy them to beat Donegal. And that's with the Donegal team performing well, let's not forget, in Division 2. So, like, Derry look like a serious train towards the Ulster title. Will it lead them to an All-Ireland title at a juncture? I'm not sure. But they look good. They look really, really good.
Yeah, and the fact that Donegal are obviously playing in the Division 2 league final as well probably suits Derry down to the ground. It means Donegal don't get any extra time off in terms of both of those two sides playing on the same day in Croke Park next Saturday, or Sunday, actually. Dublin, speaking of Dublin, they'll obviously be in Croke Park as well. 5-18, Tyrone 12 points, 21-point win for Dublin. An absolute annihilation from a Dublin perspective. You know, obviously us Dubs went into this game feeling confident in Croke Park. Obviously playing very, very good football at the moment. Life is good. But even though Tyrone didn't start Ara Canavan, I don't think many Dublin fans would have expected us to beat Tyrone by 21 points. Yeah, like an absolute incredible performance from start to finish. Goals galore. And, I mean, can this Dublin team be stopped right now? That's the big question.
I think it comes down to Derry and Kerry, honestly, because this Dublin team looks like a steam train and it doesn't look like stopping in any stop whatsoever. Like, we talked about Conn O'Callaghan in the last few weeks scoring for fun, and you had two players in particular yesterday, Cullen Basquiat scoring 2-3 and Larkin O'Dell scoring 1-2, who were absolutely outstanding. And I just feel Dublin are on a serious route towards an All-Ireland this year. You look at Ross McGarry as well. I think I did some stats earlier. He scored 13 points for Dublin, 12 from play. You have to be impressed with that as a Dubarn, because he's doing absolutely brilliant in the wing forward position. Like Kieran Kilkenny as well. Like Killy McGuinness has come into the team and scored a couple of points yesterday. Like, it all looks rosy for Dublin at the moment. They look really, really good. And that's, again, without Fitzsimons, without Cluxton, without McCaffrey, without McCarthy, and you're excelling. It's just incredible, really, to watch. And they look like a one train ticket towards maybe even a second Sam Maguire in a row. We'll have to see how the next few weeks pans out. Derry and Kerry will obviously be under coattails, but Dublin looking a serious charge at the moment. Dublin were brilliant yesterday, no doubt about it. But Tyrone, and I think Brian Dewar used this in the post-match interview yesterday, it was embarrassing. And this is, and I said this on your live stream yesterday, this is the second time that they've went to Croke Park after the 2021 All-Ireland final win. They've got beaten by 218 to 12 points against Kerry, and now 518 to 12 points against Dublin. That's not a good sign. It shows a kind of a weak mentality in Tyrone. And I know Canavan wasn't playing yesterday, but look at that full forward line that they had out in the fields. Rory Canavan, Darren McCurry, Colin McShane. That's a top full forward line. And Tyrone fans are thinking that isn't the first team that played against Dublin yesterday. It's close to it. And he absolutely got hammered. And I just feel, and I look at Tyrone's league campaign as well, and most Tyrone fans might not be worried about this, but I'd be seriously worried, because when you look at it from a landscape here, they've got 6 points. Four of those points came from sides that got relegated in Roscommon and Monaghan, and the other two came against Mayo, where they performed well in the second half, granted, but they were terrible in the first half in that game. So I don't know where this Tyrone team goes. I think this is honestly a tough time for Tyrone, and they're facing Monaghan or Cavan in the Ulster Championship quarterfinal in a few weeks' time. I wouldn't be confident that Tyrone would turn them over. I really wouldn't, because like the confidence would be draining out of them after that trouncing yesterday. And Brian Dewar has a lot of work on his hands to turn this farm around, because like going up to Croke Park twice and getting annihilated twice the way they did, is just really, really poor from a Tyrone standpoint. And Sean Cavanagh talked about standards as well last night. And Brian Dewar kind of knows that as well. And yeah, it's just worrying from the Tyrone point of view, in my opinion.
It really, really is. Kieran says here, Dublin young guns leading the way, frightening the depth of talent. The Dubs look like they could walk this All-Ireland. Era 3-2-1 was saying Dublin the team to be the best in Ireland. Absolutely ridiculous, but Derry are a serious outfit as well. Let's see what happens. Yeah, look, you certainly can't sleep on Derry, in fairness, and it should be a very interesting league final. But yeah, as you said, and as other people have said in the comments, like the fact that Dublin have introduced, like obviously the likes of Ross McGarry, Killian O'Gara, Killy McGuinness, these lads have been they've been on the fringes over the last few years, but they've really clicked into gear this year, in my opinion. Like, in particular, Ross McGarry's been absolutely brilliant. Colm Basquiat comes back in, scores 2 goals and 3 points. Looks like he's never been away. And, like, you're looking at Dublin at the minute, and you obviously still have Paul Mannion, James McCarthy, Stephen Cluxton, Mick Fitzsimons to come back into the side at some point. But the way Dublin are playing at the moment, like, do any of them lads even get into this Dublin team? Because, like the starting 15 is just doing the absolute business. And like Niall Scully's been absolutely brilliant as well. Conn O'Callaghan looks absolutely rejuvenated. Jack McCaffrey still has to come back in. It's frightening the amount of depth that Dublin have. And like, even as we said, the fringe players who maybe weren't considered to be starters, the likes of Ross McGarry, the likes of Killy McGuinness, but they've been absolutely sensational for Dublin this year.
They've been really good. And even look at Killian McGuinness, like, I've been crying out for him to start on the Dublin team, given his performances for Skerry's Harps, and particularly for TU Dublin in the Sigurdsson Cup. And he's just come into the team and slotted in seamlessly. He's looked really, really good. And even other forwards around there as well. Sean Bogler, I know, I don't think he actually played yesterday, but he's been brilliant throughout the league campaign. And as well as that, Keane Murphy, I think, has been brilliant. Scored a goal yesterday. And let's not forget, a few weeks ago, kept Paddy Clifford quiet against Kerry. So, like, this guy seems to be on a good run of form as well. Theo Clancy coming into the team from Kilmacud Crokes as well. It all looks really good from a double point of view. And added on to that, with Cluxton dilemma, he's still a David O'Hanlon. And Evan Comerford, to be fair to him, when he's come into the team, has done well. So, like, Dublin look on a serious route to an All-Ireland title this year. And I don't think, at this moment in time, I don't think anybody could stop them. But you're right to talk about Derry as well. But I know we'll get on to Kerry in a sec, but I don't think Kerry could be right off either. They're still aristocrats of Gaelic football. They still have one of the greatest footballers we've ever seen. They still have Sean O'Shea and Paddy Clifford. And Sean Kavanagh kind of dismissed them last night, so I'll get on to him more in a sec. But that was kind of, kind of disrespectful to Kerry, in my opinion. But looking at Dublin, they look incredible, from defence to attack. They scored the most amount out of all the four divisions in the Allianz League, and you could just see why. The attack is absolutely frightening. And yeah, I'll be interested to see what kind of performance they put up against Derry on Sunday, because they're on fire at the moment.
They really, really are, in fairness. Derek says Desi Farrell's strategy of keeping these new lads around the last few years is paying off. He must be so happy how they put their hand up for the jersey. Derry serious threat and league final will be an acid test. Absolutely. So where do we put James McCarthy, Paul Mannion, Stephen Cluxton? Cluxton obviously will come in. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Even if Evan Comerford and David O'Hanlon have looked very good. Yeah, look, I think McCarthy probably slots into midfield beside Brian Fenton. You could argue he goes in the half forward line, but I think Keane Murphy's been absolutely brilliant as well. So I don't think you take him out there. Maybe you put him at number seven, but then you also have Jack McCaffrey to come back in potentially as well. You probably put Paul Mannion in for Killian McGuinness, but McGuinness has been brilliant, you know, again. So it's one of them where if Mannion's on the bench and McGuinness is in the form that he's in, You don't make any changes. But can Dublin keep up this momentum, though? Because as we've seen with the new championship structure and everything else, and the fact that Dublin now, obviously they have the league final, fair enough, against Derry, but after that they go into the Leinster Championship, they won't be playing teams of the standard that they've been playing in Division 1. And they're probably, realistically speaking, probably going to win a lot of their games by a canter, which probably isn't good preparation before the group stages and the All-Ireland series and everything else. So, like, do Dublin just keep up this momentum? Do they keep going full throttle? Or can you see them maybe taking their foot off the gas a little bit in the next while, few weeks?
I think, honestly, they can do in the Leinster Championship for a few games, just a few games in general, because they're obviously much better than the opposition. I don't think Dublin are the sort of county that drop their standards. I really don't. I think the only time they dropped their standards really was 2021, where they went into every game. They were a bit too complacent after Division 1, even against Wexford. That time in Wexford Park, they were very, very poor. And even in the semi-finals and the final against Meath and Kildare, like on any other day, Dublin could have lost those games. And I just think that was kind of a yearly thing. I don't think this is a yearly thing, though. I think Dublin has started off like a trend. They look absolutely unstoppable at this present moment in time, and that's the big thing. And I know you talk about Leinster teams being undercooked and all that. I think they are, don't get me wrong. But I think Meath and Partalton, I think Meath will try to have a fair few lumps into Dublin, really. Because I think Meath will try to make it into a bear pit. And I don't think they'll win. I think Dublin will get out with the win in the end. But I think that's still a tricky assignment in many, many ways more than one. Because like Meath would want to stamp their authority in the Leinster Championship after winning the Tots and Cup last season. So I think, but to be honest, like after the Meath game, you have an easy enough semi-final, easy enough final. Like if Loud, Kildare make it to the final, like they're not really hardish teams, if you know what I mean. So, well, Loud are, to be fair, but you see the way Loud got pushed over last year in the Leinster final. And like I think, honestly, in Leinster, I think the game you'd be looking towards as maybe a game that will perk you up even more for the All-Ireland is probably Meath, probably. But we'll have to see in the next few weeks what sort of Meath team turn up in Partalton that day. But yeah, I don't think Dublin will be the team to drop the standards. They haven't done so before. They only did so in 2021. That was nearly a yearly thing. They haven't done it in any other time, and I can't see how they will this year.
Yeah, and speaking of dropping standards, Gaelic Oi says here, how do All-Ireland champions 3 years ago lose by 21 points? Disgrace. Yeah, look, I mean, it's a bit mad with Tyrone and everything else. And I know on social media and everything else, I've seen a lot of people defending Tyrone, saying, you know, the last time they lost by such a significant margin in the league was obviously Kerry in 2021, and then they went on to win the All-Ireland. I've seen people say Tyrone weren't arsed, they weren't bothered. You know, Dublin shouldn't celebrate the win, they shouldn't be happy with the win. I've seen people on TikTok going crazy, really, saying that, you know, how can anyone read anything into this game? But, like, at the same time, Tyrone did still have, like, fair enough, they didn't have Darragh Canavan, and obviously he didn't feature. But Tyrone still had Darren McCurry out there. They still had Noel Morgan playing. They still had Rory Canavan in the side. Brian Kennedy started. Like, it more or less still was. Like, Kieran Daly obviously comes off the bench. But more or less, it's still, give or take, Tyrone's best starting 15. And, look, you can accept losing to Dublin. Like, fair enough. They didn't have anything to play for, even though there was still a slight outside chance they can get into a league final. But they obviously weren't going to get relegated. But at the same time, to lose by 21 points, like, it's just, it's not a good look. And, like, let's not forget as well, like, Dublin potentially could have went stronger as well. You know, Paul Mannion maybe could have started. Maybe the damage would have been worse if he started. Like, he scored 2 points when he came off the bench. So I just think this narrative around Tyrone, like, in terms of people not being worried about them, like, their manager said it. It was an embarrassing performance. And I think even staunch Tyrone fans will admit it's not a good look going into the championship. Like, not good preparation at all for that Monaghan or Cavan game, whoever they obviously play that comes out of that match.
Yeah, it isn't. And as I mentioned before, like, that's twice now in a row that they've got embarrassing Croke Park. Like, honestly, I thought the All-Ireland quarterfinal against Kerry was one of the most embarrassing Tyrone performances I've ever seen in HQ. That topped it yesterday. Like, that lacked fight. And is it a good look at the end of the league campaign in match day 7 to be on the end of a 21-point hammer? It isn't, seriously. And especially in Division 1. It's not good. And I'd read out some of the Tyrone and starting 15 there, and a lot of people's arguments to bed. Niall Morgan in goal, their first-choice goalkeeper. The full-back line, Conal Devlin, McCarron, Clark, okay, Devlin probably the main there. Kieran McGeary, Footballer of the Year in 2021, a centre-back. They also have Niall Devlin there. They have Brian Kennedy in midfield. They have Conor Cush, one of the best players of the Sigurdsson Cup this year at centre-forward. Joe Goose, who was absolutely outstanding in the last game against Monaghan at wing-forward. Lorcan McGarty, a good youngster. And obviously the full-forward line that I mentioned there, McShane, McCurry and Rory Canavan. Like, to get hammered by 21 points, I know it's Dublin and they look really, really good and on course to maybe clinch another All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. But Tyrone were shocking. And that can't be excused whatsoever. And even when you read out the results set in Division 1 this season, like, and I mentioned that they only beat Roscommon, Monaghan and Mayo, and Roscommon and Monaghan went down. They lost to Galway at home. Against Kerry, that was fairly comfortable against them. They lost heavily enough to Derry as well, without putting much of a paw on them. Look, I'd be worried about Tyrone. I really would be. I just think, like, the players are there. There's no doubt. They have some outstanding players. As I mentioned there, Conor Cush, Darren McCurry, Darragh Canavan, Rory Canavan. They have probably one of the best select few players in a squad in Ireland. But they can't produce on the pitch. And this has been an issue for Tyrone over 3 seasons. I'm including this season as well. In 2022, they lost heavily to Derry and then got knocked out of the All-Ireland Championship by Armagh. And that was a new low for Tyrone football. I didn't think it would go that low, but it did. In 2023, like, it seemed to go on an upward trajectory. Then it went on a lower trajectory after the Westmeath draw. And Westmeath could have easily won that game if John Heslin put that free over the bar. And then against Kerry, they were absolutely annihilated last year. And nothing can excuse that performance. And yesterday was just an abomination. It was just terrible. And I don't know how Brian Dewar is going to fix this going into the championship. Like, I know the game didn't matter and stuff like that. But you don't want to be losing by 21 points, especially to Dublin going into the championship. It's just a bad look. And I'm sure Tyrone players would have known that. It was terrible from start to finish, really, from Tyrone. And I don't know how Brian Dugar is going to fix it. It's been happening the last three seasons, though. The three seasons after they win the All-Ireland title. And the narrative around Tyrone after the All-Ireland win in 2021 was Tyrone could go 2-3 in a row if they wanted to. They could win 2 in 3 years or whatever. They haven't been close in the next few years after that. And that's just the facts. Something has to change in Tyrone. I don't know whether it be manager or players' attitudes or whatever, but something has to change because the results aren't backing up on the pitch at the moment. And they look a rabble, in all honesty, Aaron. And I don't see it being a positive impact going into the championship.
Yeah, Joseph says here, watch Tyrone, the fighty odds to win the All-Ireland down the line. Again, similar to Kerry, shellacking by 20-odd points in 2021. I think it was 18 points, I think, was that defeat, or was it 16 or something like that? But I think at the same time, though, like the difference for me with this one is the fact that this has been happening quite often over the last couple of years. Like when Tyrone lost that game to Kerry, it was very much an anomaly, really. And like, to be fair, Tyrone had a much better side back then as well. Like they obviously had Conor McKenna, Cathal McShane was obviously a lot more. Obviously, he was coming back from an injury, but he had a much bigger impact, obviously, in the championship that year. They obviously had Ronan McNamee, obviously, in their defence as well, who's obviously stepped away. So it's a much different Tyrone side. And the Tyrone team, like realistically, in the last couple of years, they've had the odd good performance here and there. But when have they put 2 or 3 consecutive wins together? I can't, you know, they haven't done it since they won the All-Ireland. So, look, Tyrone might do something in the championship. They might beat someone out of nowhere. I wouldn't be surprised. But to see them go on a run and win the All-Ireland, I definitely couldn't see it. I don't know about you.
No, not at all. They won't win the All-Ireland. Look at their performances so far. Getting embarrassed once in Croke Park would be reason enough not to win the All-Ireland. So to get embarrassed in Croke Park twice and to win the All-Ireland? Really? I don't think Tyrone are getting him anywhere near the All-Ireland. I think they looked a rabble yesterday. And this has been, as you mentioned there, it's been happening for some time. And I can count, even in Championship, I can count out of the last two, in 2022 and 2023, three times where they put up abject performances and lost the game. Derry, Armagh, Kerry. That can't keep repeating. You know, and that performance yesterday was everything that Tyrone have shown in big games in the last few seasons. And that would worry me, no doubt about that. And even to go back on that guy's point about the Kerry game, Tyrone didn't recover after the Derry game in Ulster. Look what happened after that. So, like, I don't see it. I really don't. I think Tyrone are on a slippery slope. I don't think they're getting anywhere near the All-Ireland. I don't think they're even getting to an Ulster final. Well, to be honest, that's not an unpopular opinion because they're on the same side as Derry and Donegal, and both of those sides would beat Tyrone. So, no, I don't see them having a good season in all honesty, Aaron. And it's going to be a tough year, I think, for Tyrone. It didn't look good yesterday, it really didn't.
Yeah, absolutely not. And to be fair, like, I don't think anyone's doubting the talent that Tyrone have in their starting 15. They do have a lot of very good players, but they just haven't done it consistently enough. Like that's been the big issue. Like if they played like they did in that second half versus Mayo, if they played like they did for the large parts against Monaghan, if they'd done that more consistently, I think we'd both be having a different conversation. But the problem is with Tyrone is that they seem to down tool a lot of the time. It does seem that when they go 5 or 6 points down, you know, the floodgates open and they can be absolutely battered. It does seem to happen more often than not, in fairness. Kerry, as you said, are just ticking along very quietly. Good win for them against Galway, 15 points to 110. Comfortable-ish result. Galway got a late goal, to be fair, to make it a little bit nervy towards the end. Galway had started quite well. They went a couple of points up. Obviously, the Cliffords didn't start, but once they came on in the set, to be fair, Kerry started to turn the screw a little bit before they came on. Killian Splann, I thought, was good. Darragh Roach had a good game. But yeah, overall, Kerry, as you said, like a lot of hype around Dublin and Derry, and Kerry going along very nicely, and I suppose they'll be sunning themselves now in Portugal.
Yeah, exactly. They'll have a nice holiday there, and I think David Clifford would absolutely love to have a rest more than anything, because that guy's been been on non-stop Gaelic football for the last year or so. So best of luck to Kerry, honestly, for their holiday. They absolutely deserve it, most of the lads, or the whole team, more or less, and Jack O'Connor himself. But yeah, it was a good win yesterday, even without the Clifford starting. They looked pretty comfortable up until that Tom O'Callaghan goal. Then Galway got back into the game. And Ward and Galway, actually, they looked really, you know, driven yesterday to survive. I know they didn't get the win, but they deserve to stay up. There's no doubt about that. They deserve to stay up more than Roscommon did because they showed much more fight in them. And once Walsh, Comer, McDade, all them, and Matthew Tierney come back into the team, maybe they'll be a stronger outfit. And you would imagine they'll get to a kind of final. They have to play Sligo or Leitrim in the semi-final. And I think it should be, well, they have to play London first, don't they, before that. But London, then Sligo or Leitrim, it should be an easy kind of path to the kind of final for them. And maybe they could play Walsh, Comer, all the lads in that game against Mayo or Roscommon. So yeah, I think it's positive for Galway moving forward. And as for Kerry, I think even the comments from Sean Cavanagh last night were very, very disrespectful to Kerry. He was saying that Derry and Dublin are the best two teams in the country and they're a bit above everyone else. And I'm thinking, well, there's a team in green and gold just waiting on the wings there. And I think Kerry are the sort of team to... Like, Kerry have done this in the past. Like, remember 2014, they looked terrible in the league. And then they looked as bad as they did this year. They nearly got relegated in 2014 and then went on and won the All-Irelands. This is what Kerry do. They're aristocrats of Gaelic football. And I think there's still a kick in them. And the fact they put that bad performance against Dublin out of the way earlier in the league, maybe they'll be going for vengeance later on in the year. Just watch this space. I do think there's still a fight in Kerry. And I do think there's still some good players performing. Like Killian Spillane got 4 points yesterday. A brilliant performance from him. Paul Gainey is coming back into it as well. Joe O'Connor's looking excellent in midfield. So I do think there's positives in Kerry. Their first game in the Munster is at home to Cork or Limerick. I can't discount Limerick there. You would imagine Kerry will get over the line there and the Munster final as well, which should kick them on for an All-Ireland series and an All-Ireland charge after that. So I think they'll enjoy their time in Portugal, get back for the Munster Championship, win that easily, and then go into the All-Irelands. And they might be even a dark horse for the All-Irelands. Well, I wouldn't consider Kerry as a dark horse in many other years, but considering what the media are saying about them at the moment, you'd have to consider them a dark horse at the moment because a lot of people are writing them off early.
Like, why are people writing them off, do you think? Is it because Kerry aren't... Like, I think we're so used to Kerry playing swashbuckling football and beating teams at will and, you know, playing the best brand of football we've ever seen. But at the same time, like, Kerry last year in the league were fairly, you know, it was a very similar campaign to the league this year where they, you know, in the end, they do enough to stay up. They have a couple of good wins here and there. They don't overexert themselves. And look, Kerry still got to the final last year and the game was level going into injury time and then Dublin pulled away. So, like, why are people writing off Kerry? Is it because Dublin and Derry are looking so good? Or what do you think the reason is?
I think it's honestly recency bias, in my opinion, Aaron. I think it was after the Dublin game in Croke Park and the fact that Cian Murphy stopped Paddy Clifford. I think people just automatically assumed, oh, Kerry's plan A is gone now and they don't have a plan B. I'm sure Jack O'Connor will think of a plan B as the summer goes on. I do think there's still a kick in Kerry. I do think the holiday in Portugal will actually be a benefit to them. While other teams are going rustling a dumble for league finals and championship, Kerry are, you know, relaxing and going on a holiday and then going into the Munster Championship, which should be an easy walk in the park for them, let's be honest. So I do think, like, Kerry do have time to turn this around. And I think another reason, actually, is the injury to Jason Foley, who they actually put a fullback. I actually have to have a look at who they actually put a fullback against Galway. I'll double-check there. But he's a huge loss. He is no doubt about that after that injury. And I think he might be out for... I'd say he'd be lucky to see another game this year looking at that injury. Like, it's Achilles tendon. That's a horrible injury to get. And hopefully Jason Foley does recover. But I do think Kerry might miss him in the full back line, and that may be a reason people might be writing them off, as well as the fact in the Dublin game they were so tactically outclassed in Croke Park. And that was, I seen there at Scorpio, Dylan Casey played at full back. That could be another guy from Austin Stacks. He looks good in the club championship in previous seasons, and he has done well for Kerry at cornerback. Maybe it's time for him to step up at full back. So maybe that could be a plan for Jack O'Connor going further into the summer as for Kerry. So Yeah, I do think Kerry are still a threat to be reckoned with, but yeah, like I think honestly, the Dublin game and the holiday and all that, I think that might be the best thing to happen to Kerry because it'll put them under the radar, they'll rest up a small bit, they'll go again in a few weeks, and they'll be right as rain then. I do think Kerry would be still serious contenders for the All-Ireland. I know Derry and Dublin have been absolutely superb so far, but Kerry are a sort of team to wait in the long grass. They've done it before. And I'll bet you this for another hour, and they'll do it again.
Absolutely, yeah. No, you certainly can never write off the men from the kingdom. They'll certainly be there or thereabouts when it comes to the All Ireland series. Make no question about that. Mayo finished up with a win away to Monaghan, 213 to 114. Couple of late scores, obviously in the game from a Mayo perspective. Padraig O'Hara, Matthew Ruan, obviously getting the goal. Ryan O'Donoghue getting a point as well to turn it around. I mean, it was a dead rubber, essentially. There was nothing on the line here. Mayo had the slimmest of chances to get to a league final, but they needed a whole host of scenarios to happen for that to happen. So, yeah, look, Mayo got the win. They're probably happy they're not in the league final, to be fair, because they get to rest now in preparation for New York in 2 weeks' time. But, yeah, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, maybe the fight for Monaghan was impressive him more than anything because they actually went down to 14 men in the first half of this game. Andrew Woods getting a straight red card. So the fight that Monaghan did show, they were 3 points up after Kevin Loughran's goal, I think it was, with less than 10 minutes to go on the clock. And then Matty Ryan gets a goal and then Mayo eased the victory more or less towards the end of it. But I would say Monaghan, despite going down, they've showed a lot of fight. And I do think Monaghan will do well in Division Two next year because of that fight. As for Mayo, yeah, I think it's honestly, as you mentioned there, it's the best thing that could have happened to Mayo, not getting to a league final and staying up. I think Kevin McStay would be delighted, honestly. Like the players don't have to go into another Connacht Championship or a league final before a Connacht Championship campaign gets underway more or less straight away. So I do think that happened last year, and obviously look what happened against Roscommon. They fell flat. And I think honestly, Mayo are still a team to watch this summer as well. They do have good players. They have a good coach in Kevin McStay, and they should beat New York pretty handily. And as well as that, it's an opportunity to go to the States as well. I'm sure the players would absolutely love that opportunity in itself as well. So yeah, I think Mayo are in a good place. I think Monaghan, they'll go into the next game against Cavan now in 2 weeks' time in the Ulster Championship. Considering what Cavan did in Division Two, that's a huge game. And considering the rivalry between the two counties, it becomes even more massive. So it's an opportunity for Monaghan to right wrongs for the league campaign and maybe get a win under their belt. But decent game to end the league campaign. Good attacking football on display here. But Mayo won in the end. And they seem to be going to the championship quietly and in fairness, in a good bit of form.
They definitely are, yeah, they definitely are. Maybe going a little bit under the radar as well, in fairness. So there we go. Gavin says there's only seven teams in Connacht. There's zero need for it to start the week after the league finals. Yeah, no, yeah, like they probably should space it out a little bit more. I don't understand why they don't push the All-Ireland final back at least a week. You know, it's not like there's anything there, you know, in the opening weekend in August. I know obviously we're trying to accommodate club championships and everything else, but I don't see any reason why you couldn't push it back a week. But I suppose it probably is a conversation for another day. This is how Division One finishes up. So Derry and Dublin are in the league final. Monaghan and Roscommon are both relegated. Kerry, Mayo, Tyrone, and Galway all finish in between. Looking at Division Two, then I suppose the big game here was Louth, who got over the line against Kildare by a score of 112 to 12 points. Ryan Burns with a goal and 2 points, which ultimately proved to be the difference for the wee county. Louth stay up. Fermanagh obviously won their game as well, which we'll get onto in a moment. But fair play to Louth; they done what they had to do. They beat their rivals and they stay up in Division Two for another year.
Yeah, row one to load, considering that these two counties might even play each other in the Leinster Championship as well. And that could even be a decider for Sam Maguire and Talton Cup. We'll have to see in the next few weeks. But for now, very good win for Load. And they stayed up for another season. And Ger Brennan has kind of righted the wrongs that everybody has been saying about Load, that they will go down, they'll be an easy pushover whatsoever, and stuff like that. But in fairness, I said Louth would finish sixth. They finished sixth. So I got one prediction right. I'm getting a few right here. But Lowe's did finish sixth. They stayed up with a skin to their feet in the end. You'd have to feel sorry for Fermanagh. No one can answer them in the sick, but like to go down with 5 points is just really, really harsh on them. But Ryan Burns obviously getting the goal for Lowe, crucial goal in the game as well. Like if Sam Roy scoring well, Kieran Downey, he had a lot of good scores. And as well as that, Lowe scored 13 goals in Division 2. I don't think you'd ever say that at the start of the season. So a very good record for Lowe in general. As for Kildare, look, they knew they were down already. Maybe they're resting up for the Leinster Championship, I'm not sure. But 0 points out of 7 games, not really good enough from a Kildare point of view. I still have belief in them. I still think they'll get to the Leinster final. I still think there's quality in the side. I still think there's an onus there to improve game on game. But Kildare have to prove it for 70 minutes. I've said this like a broken record forever now, that they need to do that to get to a Leinster final. And they have to do it now. Like, if they don't get to a Leinster final, they're going to be playing Tantal Cup football. So it's a big few weeks for Kildare and for Louth. Let's not forget as well, they're on the same side as Kildare. So they'll be going to get to a Leinster final as well, just to assure a Sam Maguire place as well. So, yeah, a lot on the line despite the results on Saturday.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, like, massive win for Loudon, as you were saying, for Anna, like they got the job done against Cavan, 214 to 113, but ultimately didn't mean anything. Obviously, the game was taking place the same time, obviously, as the Kildare Loud game. So for Anna, probably weren't to know at the time that they didn't get over the line, or they didn't secure promotion. But yeah, just unfortunate, like they finished with 5 points. For example, Galway finished with 5 points in Division 1, and that was enough to stay up. So it is very unfortunate, but that is how it works, unfortunately. Like,
yeah, exactly. And another example as well, Offaly finished on 5 points in Division 3-2 and stayed up. So it's just unfortunate for Fermanagh, it really is. What I will say about the game in general, Garvin Jones, what a performance from him. 1-8, 1-7 play. You can't ask for much more, and he showed a lot of fight in this game. Like Sean Cassidy scored the other goal as well. And yeah, them two forwards in particular for Fermanagh in the top scorers charts really, really excelled. I think Garvin Jones was actually the second top scorer for playing Division 2, just behind Chris O'Jones from Cork. So brilliant showing from him, and he might be a player to watch in the Ulster Championship, as will Sean Cassidy, as will Alton Kiln. They do have some very good players for Fermanagh. And I will say this, like if Fermanagh are in the Tailteann Cup, which I think they will be, like Armagh should be too good for them in the Ulster Championship. I think if they put a bit of effort into it, I do think Fermanagh will win the competition. I think they have a serious chance of doing it. Because you look at the players that they have, the positives that they got out of this Division 2 campaign, I do think there's a lot of positives to bring back to Kieran Donnelly's side. So very good win for Fermanagh, but ultimately not enough, unfortunately. And like, you point towards so many games in this division. I point towards probably the Cork game that sent them down. Like, there was one goal chance, they missed that. Mark Shanley scores down the other end, and ultimately they're down. Like, if they won that game against Cork, they would have been at 7 points. They probably would have survived. We probably would have gone down with the domino effect there. But look, it's unfortunate for Fermanagh. They've been a breath of fresh air in Division 2. Wish them all the best. But it's unfortunate that they went down, and hopefully they'll do well at the Tailteann Cup themselves. As for Cavan, they're gearing up to that Monaghan game now in Ulster. It's a huge game for them. And yeah, I don't think they care much about this game in general. They were losing for much of this game. So yeah, it was a game just to finish off the league campaign and onto Monaghan in 2 weeks' time for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and yeah, as you said, like Fermanagh will, like, to be fair, they've done themselves proud in Division 2. Like, I think a lot of people expected them to maybe have a season like Kildare did, lose every game and go down. But in fairness to them, they battled to the very end, and they'll certainly be, in my opinion anyways, one of the strong contenders to bounce straight back up next season. I'd actually be a lot more confident for Fermanagh bounce back up than Kildare, in my opinion, when we look at just sort of the how things are looking with both counties as it stands right now. Other two games in Division 2, Donegal 118, Meath 110, a fairly comprehensive win there for Donegal on the final day. Obviously already promoted, Meath and nothing to play for as well. And Cork drew 216 with Armagh, 216 apiece. Obviously you were at this game. You were mentioning it a little bit yesterday during the watch-along. Like in the end, the draw probably could have won the game, but look, in the end, you know, a strong end to the league, like 3 wins and a draw to finish things off, it's not too bad. Like,
And considering we have a winnable game in the Munster first against Limerick, that could be five games unbeaten going to Kerry. And that's a positive sign for the players, at fairness. They've turned it around, and fair play to them for that. Like, and as well as that, Chris Oak-Jones and Luke Fahey scored the first two goals that Armagh conceded in Division 2. So that's an amazing stat in itself. But Chris Oak's goal in particular was well taken goal. And we could have won it at the end, Sherlock, with that shot. I looked at the replays, it was wide, simple as. A lot of Cork fans would argue that it was over the bar, but no, I think it's it looked wide, and it was a fair result in the end. Armagh, to be fair to them, surprisingly put out a strong enough team. Like, Rian O'Neill was playing a wing forward, and he didn't look to his utmost best, but look, he did start. Stephen Campbell came onto the pitch later on in the game as well. Jardy O'Burns was playing. Rory Grubing got 1-3. Conor Turbic got 5 points. And then you had other players like Oisin Connolly doing absolutely brilliant and scoring the equalising point. And Oisin O'Neill's catch towards the end of it was really, really good as well from an Armagh point of view. So positives to take for both sides in general going to the championship. And for Cork, yeah, it's just a matter of frustration, really. The fact that we should have beat Armagh, we beat Meath, we beat Kildare, we beat Fermanagh, and we didn't lose to Cavan Loud earlier on in the league. And Killy McMullen says that's the best Cork played this year. Think it shocked Armagh. Yeah, I suppose it did, yeah. Maybe so, but yeah, it was a really good performance from Cork, really good performance from Armagh, to be fair, given the circumstances as well. Just a general good game of football, and maybe that was down to the two teams having pressure off them, but a good end to the league for both sides. Obviously, Armagh have a league final next week, followed by the Fermanagh game in Ulster. And yeah, a good result for Cork more so. Like, Armagh will go into the league final with their tails up next week. As for the other game, Donegal Meath, I think, look at the match reporting, Jamie Brennan got the winning goal for Donegal. So, really good win for them. I think the main, probably talking points from this game was the fact that when you look at it, Cullum O'Rourke was talking to Ashton O'Reilly from off the ball, I think, about player schedule and the split season, and it's just a bad time to be a GAA player at the moment. And yeah, he doesn't like it. Saying it blindly. Jim McGuinness was saying around the same thing as well. So yeah, that's that was the main talking point from that game. So yeah, it was nothing other than a nothing fixture more than anything. It was Meath were in the Samogar Cup already. Donegal were in Division 1 already, so nothing to play for there. But a good way to end the league for Donegal. And Meath will go into the championship now against Longford with a small bit of positivity under their belts.
They most certainly will. Yeah, look, very, very good results. Very good finish in the end, in fairness, from a Cork perspective, and they can certainly be, there certainly is a lot to be positive for. Paul says Cork looked dangerous on the counter-attack. Great runners. Derek says Cork have turned a corner. Interesting to see them in championship. David says, if you're watching the game, you know Armagh were trying different things and mixing players around, but fair play to Cork. Yeah, look, obviously Armagh, to be fair, had nothing to play for. Thought I was going to sneeze there, but there we are. Yeah. In the end, finishes as a draw, and that's how it goes. Division 3. I suppose we'll move on to Division 3. Yeah, my camera stopped working there, so it's going to take me a few minutes here just to get my bearings with things again. But yeah, look, I suppose the main talking point is Down getting promoted. And obviously, look, a lot of people expected the Down and Clare game to be a lot more closer, but in the end, it was fairly convincing from a Down perspective.
Yeah, really, really good performance from Down, and good performance in particular. Owen Murdoch in midfield was absolutely exceptional. Pat Havern in the forward line as well, and they really trounced Clare in many ways in this game, which was kind of unexpected, considering the importance of this fixture. It wasn't that Clare were terrible or whatsoever. It was just Down are that good, and Down really stamped their authority on this game in general. Like, it was, I think it was 3-15 to 1-10. That was an incredible score to get, and it probably, a lot of people thought that Clare would have something to play for. They obviously had something to play for, but they'd have the bit between their teeth. They'd catch Down on the hop, but I think Down proved in this game more than anything what a good team they actually are. They look incredible, and even it's so exciting to even watch them in the Division 3 final next week against Westmeath. With their tails up, with the coattails up, they look really, really good. And Conor Laverty looks to be building a really nice team there. Ciarán Mina has definitely strengthened things in the defence department as well. You have Marty Clark in and around the panel and the backroom team as well, which is always a help to have. So, yeah, Down look absolutely exceptional at the moment. And Clare, look, Clare could be proud of their efforts in Division 3, considering the players that they did lose. They lost 11 key components of the team, and as well as that, Colm Collins stepping away after many years in the management. And Mark Fitzgerald and the Clare players deserve a lot of credit for even challenging Down and Westmeath all the way for promotion. But it's a matter of if buts and maybes. But a few weeks ago, the game against Westmeath, and Westmeath lost against Sligo as well, which kind of rubs salt into the wounds. If Clare got that decision in their favour in Mullingar a few weeks ago with that square ball incident, we could have been talking about tonight Clare being a Division 3 final rather than Westmeath.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, like I think it was a very unfortunate set of circumstances, obviously, that happened with Clare and Westmeath, and obviously missing out on promotion there. But for Down, though, like, to put up that type of a score, like, it is some statement, in fairness to Down. Do you reckon that there's any chance they cause any shocks in Ulster?
I think they'll get past the first game. I think they're playing Antrim in the Ulster quarterfinals, so I think they'll should get past that pretty easily. I think, honestly, like, the Armagh game, like, Armagh look good at the moment. And even with as the commentator mentioned there about trying out new things against Cork, they still look like a serious team. So, like, Armagh are going to be a difficult one to stop. I don't think Down will lose as heavily as they did last year in the Ulster semi-final against Armagh. They pushed them damn close. But I do think Armagh are just a bit too good for Down at this moment in time. And it's just an unfortunate situation for Down here, because even if they win the Division 3 final on Saturday, which you would think would guarantee them the place in the Sam Maguire, if Kildare get to the Leinster final, Down have to get to an Ulster final then to ensure Sam Maguire plays. So it's so unfortunate for Down after all the work after all the brilliant performances they put into this campaign. It could be worth really nothing going into the championship, and worth nothing in terms of getting into the Sam Maguire Cup. And but then again, if they're in the Saltan Cup, I think Down could easily win that as well. They'd be one of the favourites with Fermanagh in that competition. So, like, it's not the end of the world if they do end up in the Saltan Cup. I think Conor Laverty was aiming at the start of the year for all year round to get to the Sam Maguire Cup, and it could end in tears in the next few weeks if Kildare get to the Leinster final.
Absolutely, yeah, no, it most certainly could. And as you said before, like, it probably is a little bit unlucky, obviously, the way that the championship is structured and everything else. Westmeath, obviously, they were, you know, there was a slight opportunity that they maybe could have not been promoted had Clare have won. So actually, if Clare had won the game, Clare and Down would have been promoted. But because Clare lost, it meant that Westmeath's defeat to Sligo was irrelevant. But yeah, like, this was definitely, I feel like this result definitely went under the radar ever so slightly. Like, because for Sligo to beat Westmeath, like, fair play to them. That's a massive win from a Sligo perspective. When you consider where they were, obviously, last year, Division 4 side and everything else, Westmeath, obviously, both of these two, coincidentally, were playing in the All-Ireland Championship last year. But yeah, like, Sean Carraboyne scoring 1-2, Noel Murphy with 5 points as well. Some going for Sligo getting this win.
And again, it shows that Sligo are not a team to be sneezed at. They're a very good team, and they have a good manager, Tony McAtee, there as well. Sean Carraboyne, Noel Murphy, as you mentioned there as well. And a lot of youngsters coming through into the Sligo team as well. And Tony McAtee seems to be integrating them really, really well. So, yeah, I think Sligo could have easily said we'll put out a second team here, because they would have finished fourth regardless of the results here. So they could have easily put out a second team. They didn't. They went ahead and won the game. So fair play to them for that. As for Westmeath, even going to the league final next week, I know they are promoted and all's well ends well. But, like, that's a confidence knocker. It really is, to lose in that manner by 6 points. I know it's like we're a decent side themselves, but a 6-point defeat in any game in Division 3 is a tough one to take. So they have to go back to the drawing board now if they want to beat Down in the Division 3 final on Saturday. And as I mentioned to you off air, that Down and Westmeath game, it might not be a showpiece event like an Armagh Donegal or a Derry in Dublin, but it certainly is the most important game of the weekend, considering the implications for the Sam Maguire and the Talton Cup. So it is a massive game for both sides.
Absolutely is, yeah. Like, especially with what's on the line. In fairness, last two games in Division 3, Offaly 110, Limerick 12 points. Offaly doing just about enough to stay up. Obviously, would have depended on other results and everything else. But the big one, really, Antrim 14 points, Wicklow 114. And, well, actually, the other way around, Antrim 114, Wicklow 14 points. Antrim stay up. Apologies to the Antrim folks there. We've made a grave error of judgment, and I deeply apologise. But yeah, it was Antrim who won the game.
You're in a lot of trouble with Belfast now, Aaron. It was a good result for Antrim, and they had to win to stay up, obviously. And really, really good result. Rory McCann getting the winning goal in this one, and I don't think he played much football up until this point as well, so for him to get the goal for his personal confidence must have been massive for him. But Wicklow, credit to them, like, even to fight to the bitter end when all seemed to have looked lost, like, if they won this game they would have stayed up, so fair play to them for fighting all the way. But Division 4 again next season, and I wonder, will Oisín McConville actually quit at the end of the season, like, after getting all the work, getting up from Division 4 to Division 3 and then to go back down again? It's a confidence knocker. And yeah, it's unfortunate for a Wicklow team. And just a quick word on the other game, Offaly Limerick. Offaly won the game, fair play to them. But fair play to Limerick. They could have easily laid down in that game, but they wanted to win that game badly. They ended up losing by a point. But, like Limerick are in such a weird situation because they're playing against Cork in the Munster Championship, and then even if they beat Cork, they're then going to play against Kerry. So realistically, they're not going to win any game in Munster. So they wanted to get kind of a confidence booster win before the Tailteann Cup begins. So it was just unfortunate that they didn't get the win, and they've finished their campaign at 7 defeats. And but yeah, they're still, I look at Limerick's team, there's still some very good players there, like Killian Fahey and Corbett. Danny Neville actually came back into the team yesterday, which is a huge boost before the Tailteann Cup, because he was one of Limerick's main forwards over the last few seasons. So yeah, Limerick, good performance. Ultimately, close but no cigar. Offaly stay up. Fair play to Limerick, though, for fighting tooth and nail, even if things weren't exactly going right for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, look, fair play to Limerick. Like, I was keeping an eye on the scoreline of that game. They were leading at halftime. They were leading for the majority, so fair play to them for giving Offaly quite a good scare. And of course, yeah, Antrim obviously winning the game, not Wicklow. Massive result, obviously, for Antrim and everything else. And to be fair, I should know that. I did a watch long yesterday, keeping updated the score. I just, obviously entered.
It's a long weekend.
I know. I just wanted to help out the nice neighbours. Do you know what I mean? You know, our very friendly neighbours in Wicklow. But unfortunately, not meant to be, but we will be rooting for you in Division 4 next year. Don't worry about that. So, yeah, this is how Division 3 finishes up. So, Down and Westmead are both promoted. Wicklow and Limerick are both relegated. I forgot to mention Division 2 earlier, the Division 2 table. So, obviously, Donegal and Armagh are both promoted. Fermanagh and Kildare are both relegated there as well. You can see Cavan in third, Cork fourth, Meath fifth, and Loud in sixth. So, very close in the end there in terms of points difference. Moving on to Division 4, I suppose the big talking point is that Leitrim have been promoted, and this was, I suppose, because of a combination of results. Wexford beat Longford 218 to 2-9, so an absolute domination there from a Wexford perspective. But Leitrim beat Tipperary 15 points to 9, and because obviously Leitrim have a better head-to-head record than Wexford, they're the reason as to why they get promoted. So, yeah, two mad results. I mean, firstly, Wexford absolutely thumping Longford. I don't think anyone really saw that coming, especially with the form that Longford came into that game.
Massive result for Wexford. And, look, it's so unfortunate for them when you think about it. Like, the 1 year they gained a bit of form, the 1 year John Hagerty seems to get a click out of the team, the 1 year Mark Rossiter, things are going right for Wexford, Ben Brosnan is hitting form, and everything seems to be going right, and they don't go up. It's just so unfortunate. I actually feel so sorry for them, the Wexford players at the moment. But it shows they are making strides and they want to get back to where they need to be. And that's Division 3 at least for Wexford. So a really good performance, really good league campaign overall. And we wouldn't have thought it on that week. I think it was match day 3. We wouldn't have thought it that week. But who would have known a controversial penalty decision would be the difference between Wexford and Leitrim swapping places? it's incredible. It really is. And Ryan O'Rourke sticky away that penalty weeks ago as well. So, and I see the video from Adrian Flynn on Twitter. It didn't look a penalty, honestly. It looked a bit dodgy. So, could Leitrim have caught themselves a bit lucky? I'm not sure. But, yeah, it was a really, really a tough outcome to take for Wex. Really good results, no question about it, but really tough outcome for them to stay in Division 4. But Leitrim, fair play to them. They had to get the job done yesterday. They did so against a Tipperary team without Sean O'Connor, actually. So, Tip, I don't think Troy much for the game by the looks of things on Scorpio. So that was the situation there. But fair play to Leitrim going up. But for Wexford, from a Wexford point of view, they must be feeling absolutely sick. And one more thing as well. Should we, like, what do you think of the head-to-head record, Aaron? Like, Wexford were well clear of Leitrim on the score difference record. And if it was score difference, Wexford would have gone up. So what do you think? Should it go down to head-to-head or score difference?
I think it should go down to head-to-head, yeah. Like, I think if you beat the said team and both sides end up with the same points, I think the head-to-head record is completely fair. In my opinion, I think it would be worse, actually, if it was the other way around. You know, I think if Wexford had a beaten Leitrim and then not been promoted, you know that way, or Leitrim had a beaten Wexford and not been promoted because of the score difference, you know, I think it should go down to that individual game. So, in fairness, I do think it's the right decision. It might seem a little bit harsh, but at the same time, look, Wexford had multiple other games there where they could have won, and ultimately that's why they've missed out, in fairness. But
then again, Aaron, it was one game against Laois that they lost other than that, Wexford, and that was against the best team in the league, let's be honest.
So. Yeah, like, look, ultimately, I think it boils down to the Leitrim game. It does. And look, as you said, it was a dodgy penalty and everything else. And maybe that's what it boils down to. But look, it is what it is. Wexford, to be fair, like, they've proven they have what it takes to get out of this division. So I think, you know, back to the drawing board now for next season. And they should make a real stab at promotion. Once again, you mentioned Laois there. They obviously beat Waterford 5-19 to 9 points. Very, very comfortable stuff there. 25-point win from a Laois perspective. And there was another game in Division 4. It was Carlow 1-17, London 1-10. But yeah, Laois, I think we all knew realistically they were going to beat Waterford and get promoted. And yeah, like, I remember looking at the score after about 15 minutes, and I think they'd 4 goals at that point. I think they were already 20 points up after 15, 20 minutes. Like, you were worried this could be a 40-point win. But in the end, it ends up at 25.
Yeah, it did, in fairness. And you have to feel sorry for Waterford, really, taking tanking after tanking. And it's just, it's almost like you're willing them to at least win a game. Like, it's really, really tough for Paul Shankey and the players to deal with beating after beating and terrible beatings that they're getting as well. It's just awful. And hopefully Waterford do recover the Tailteann Cup. I don't see it, honestly, Aaron. It's a sticky situation for them. But for Laois, good result yesterday. They move on to the league final now on Saturday. And a bit of revenge on their minds as well, because let's not forget, Laois beat them 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, should I say. So Laois will be thinking, we're going to get you back here, lads. So that's going to be a big final on Saturday in Croke Park. And that's for the other game, Carlow London. Carlow end on a high. Nothing much to say other than that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, a massive result from a Carlow perspective. We will touch on the hurling results and everything that happened in both hurling league semi-finals. But before we do, player of the week and moment of the week, what would you lean towards?
Player of the week. I'd have to go, I think, honestly, Colin Baskill from Dublin. Looks really, really sharp against Tyrone, so I'd go for him. And moment of the week, there wasn't really much, to be honest with you. I suppose Rory McCann's goal for Antrim, considering he played very little football up to that point, that would be probably my moment of the week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think to be fair, if I was to edge towards a moment of the week, I would probably go... Yeah, I think Dublin, from a Dublin perspective, to put up a result and put up a win like that against Tyrone, and look, as one of the comments says here, Tyrone are not as bad as that scoreline suggests. No way. Absolutely. They're definitely not. And I think that's why you have to give full credit to Dublin, because they were absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, look, I'd have to go with Dublin as moment of the week right there. Moving on to the hurling results, and both hurling league semi-finals, starting off with, I suppose, the big one, really, Kilkenny 317. Limerick 115. Yeah, like Limerick came flying out of traps early on. Aaron Glan gets himself a goal. Limerick are 1-2 up. It's looking like Limerick are going to do what Limerick do. But to be fair to Kilkenny, they came roaring back. Like, they outscored Limerick, I think, 3-6-4 after that, before the end of the first half. TJ Reid rolling back the years with that third goal. Owen Cody was very impressive as well. Yeah, like, what a result. And what, look, it's a league semi-final. You could argue maybe Limerick, you know, they're not really bothered about this. And maybe in the second half, you know, especially when John Coyley starts taking off, Aaron Gallant starts taking off, Keane Lynch, maybe there's an argument that they aren't really that bothered with the fact they're going for 5 in a row, they're going for another Munster title. But at the same time, massive win from a Kilkenny perspective.
Brilliant win for Kilkenny. And I was at this game as well because of the Cork and Armagh game being a doubleheader of this. And when Gallan, who scored, went in, as you mentioned there, yeah, it looked like Limerick were going to steamroll them early on. And then Kilkenny pinpointed a kind of a weakness in the Limerick team that was put out in the matchday programme, Sean Finn at fullback. And a few reasons for that. Number one, it's his first game back in over a year, or in and around that time period. So that was a huge game to get back for. And number two, he's not usually a fullback. He usually plays cornerback. So I think it was just John Coyley maybe experimenting a small bit. It backfired a bit. He'll go for a full team now in the All-Ireland series. But even Donal Cusack was making a few points at League Sunday last night. And he was right in fairness. I don't usually agree with Donal, but in this point, I kind of do. The stuff that's going on, the history that's in Limerick's mind, the 5 in a row, the fact that Declan Hannan's not playing well, the fact that Gareth Haggerty's off a bit of form, Keane Lynch was performing poorly, bit of lapses in concentration in that game as well yesterday. Like, there could be a bit of, you know, complacency maybe, keeping it to Limerick. I still have belief in them. I still think they'll win the All-Ireland. I still think they'll create history. But that game was kind of a warning sign that what Kilkenny can do if Limerick are put to the test. And that's the main thing to come out of this game. And sure, even I pinpoint as well, when Owen Cody got sent off, that was an opportunity for Limerick to kind of kick on and go on and win the game. They didn't do so. If anything, it was nearly the opposite. Kilkenny kind of pushed on. Then Peter Casey gets sent off, and then that's it. That's it. Limerick are gone out of this game. And even the post-match interview from John Coyley, he was very, very disappointed with it. So I don't think it was a case that they weren't trying. I just think things got badly wrong for them. And he was saying that the worst thing about it was, John Coyley was saying this now, the worst thing about the game was that Kilkenny won the game on their terms, and it wasn't on Limerick's terms, which was a worrying aspect for the Limerick team, more or less. So yeah, worrying defeat, more or less, for Limerick. And a few players got marked out of the game. Donal O'Dolic was brilliant from play coming into this game. Got marked out brilliantly from the Kilkenny defenders. Cahal O'Neill was a positive. Fairness from wing back going up and down the field was really, really good. Even a few sloppy errors, I think, for one of Kilkenny's goals. Keane Lynch passes the ball across the centre of the pitch, and then a Kilkenny player intercepts it. Those small little things drag a bit of something out of these teams, even if they are as great as Limerick are. So, yeah, it's a warning sign that Limerick can't be too complacent going into the All-Ireland series, and Kilkenny are there to be, you know, to be caught at. But in fairness, even look at stats and everything like that, it was a poor enough game. It was, from play, it was Limerick 1-8, Kilkenny 3-7. So it was to be honest, the first half kind of exploded, and then the second half kind of died a bit. It was kind of disappointing as a spectacle. But other than that, Kilkenny won't care. They've beaten probably one of the greatest teams we've ever seen in history, with 38 shots on the board as well, which is unusual against a team like Limerick. So really good result for Kilkenny. But Limerick, a lot of the drawing boards before they face Clare on April 21st.
Was it a mistake, do you think, to start Sean Finn coming back from a long-term injury?
I think it was a mistake to start him at fullback. I think it was a too big of a role for him. And as well as that, Declan Hannan started to get centre-back. Like, I know them two guys have been the pillars, if you like, in the Limerick team and their drive for five quest. But those two players weren't clearly fit. And you could even see it out of the pitch, even watching it. It was just, you know, both of them are outstanding. There's no doubt about that. But if you were to put, I would say, Will O'Donoghue at centre-back, or if you were to put Mike Casey at full-back, or somebody fit enough to start the game, maybe Limerick would have gained a bit of composure in the game. Because, like, Sean Fein, like, it's unusual to see him, first of all, get out-jumped and outplayed by TJ Reid. Like, TJ Reid's an outstanding hurler, but it's just unusual in the sense because Sean Fein's such an amazing defender. You wouldn't expect to see that. But I just think it was just a fitness issue. I just think he wasn't fit enough to go into this game. And a few Limerick players were kind of off it. Argalan missed frees that he shouldn't have in previous seasons. Garrett Hagerty was off it. Keane Lynch had a few stray passes that didn't go to hand. There was a few mistakes. Tom Morrissey wasn't involved as much in the game. He was very, very quiet in Parky Keeve. Peter Casey, very, very frustrating afternoon for him, and kind of compounded with the sending off, which was a sending off, by the way. So yeah, a lot of things went wrong for Limerick. I just think it was kind of an experimental team that John Coyley put out, and it kind of backfired in this particular game. I do think the championship is the be-all and end-all for Limerick, though. They have to produce good performances in the championship. And it's going to be interesting now what team they actually put out. Will they stick with Cathal O'Neill at number 7? Will they put Declan Hannan at number 6 despite his fitness issues? Who will they put at full-back? Will they put Dan Morrissey there? Will they put Mike Casey there? Or will they even stick a twist with Sean Finn? I honestly don't know what John Coyley's thinking is. But he has to think of something fast, even before the Clare game in Ennis, because remember when Clare beat them last season and we said that this Limerick team was kind of on a low ebb, and Limerick got out of jail more or less in Munster that season. But if they lose to Clare and Ennis this year, there might not be room to get back into contention after that. So Limerick have to be very careful in where they train next.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, because I suppose what stood out for me from a Limerick perspective is that short game that they're so good with, like in terms of playing out the ball from the back, the short hand pass, and they sort of play through the opposition press, which obviously gives them a lot of space once they sort of work it through midfield and everything else. But Kilkenny's intensity, like in terms of winning the ball back, like Paddy Deegan, I thought was absolutely phenomenal. Owen Cody was brilliant. TJ Reid was very good. Like as much as Kilkenny had some great moments in attack, especially in the first half, maybe the second half things fizzled out. But the amount of times they won the ball back was very, very impressive. And you very rarely ever see that happen to Limerick.
You wouldn't know. And that's credit to Kilkenny, more or less. And I thought Adrian Mullen, in my opinion, was absolutely superb as well. Like, not just shooting-wise, but I thought, his general play was absolutely brilliant. And even in around the full back line and the half back line as well, Killian Buckley had a very good performance for Kilkenny as well. Like, even Billy Drennan coming onto the pitch, Luke Hogan contributed well. Yet Billy Ryan even contributed well as well. So yeah, Kilkenny had a very good performance all over the pitch, in fairness. But then again, like, I don't know, would this be a concern for Kilkenny? They beat Limerick, one of the greatest teams that we've ever seen, obviously, with a 52% shot accuracy, which is absolutely mad in its own right. They had 38 shots as well. So obviously there's still, I know Kilkenny had a very good performance in them and fair play to them, but with 3-7 for play, 52% shot accuracy, there's still a lot to improve on for Kilkenny to get up to championship level. So there's still things to work on going into the summer as well. And the Clare game in the league is going to be massive as well. Can they right the wrongs for the game in Ennis a few weeks ago? So yeah, I still think there's a lot of work still for Kilkenny to do to get up to championship level. But on Saturday, it was really, really good signs from them, and a really, really good performance. The pressure board and anything, the intensity was superb. And as well as that, the turnovers they got, I think they had 32 turnovers, Limerick had 27. So that tells you all you need to know, that Kilkenny were high pressing them and they were forcing Limerick into these mistakes. And even Limerick's short ball game, even in the stand watching it, it looked like they were kind of overplaying it a small bit. Don't want to take it away from Kilkenny, but like, it looked like Limerick, there was times to puck it long and there was times to play it short. And it seemed like Limerick were always playing it short all the time. It did work last year and it did work in previous seasons, but when it ain't working, it just ain't working. And it looked that way on Saturday, and Limerick kind of didn't change their style after that. Kilkenny put more and more pressure on them, leading to more and more mistakes, and that was a platform for them to go on and win the game.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and that's the thing with Limerick. Like, it's normally meticulous. Like, it's just so crisp and perfect, and everything's done to an absolute T. And you just feel like one small cog in the machine, and it does open it up a little bit. Like, interesting enough, seeing John Coyley's post match comments. Like, obviously, Colin, you know, he said it was an embarrassing performance, which, strong enough comments from himself. Limerick, though, still, like, for me, they're still the favourites. I'm still very confident they go on and win the All-Ireland. We've seen this in the past before. We've seen them have blips and be able to overturn them. Obviously, it is a bit of a heavy enough defeat, in terms of the scoreline and everything else, losing by 8 points. But Limerick, still the favourites for you?
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. It's not just because I did a bit on Limerick Voice about the driver five. I just feel this team is inevitable in many ways, and I just think it was just a blip in the road on Saturday. I do think there's still more in them. They still have a lot of players to come back into the team. Like Dan Morrissey, for example, didn't actually play the other day, so he still has to come back. Mike Casey has to come back into the team. Sean Finn has to get his proper role in the cornerback. Like Aaron Costello doesn't usually start in the team. Like Barry Nash, will he be moved back to number four? There's a lot of ifs, buts, and maybes about it. Darryl Donovan didn't play obviously on Saturday either. That's another huge cog in it. So I do think Limerick still have a lot of players to come back to the team. Seamus Flanagan didn't start if he was on the bench. So there's still a good few to come back into the team. And that's the main thing from a Limerick point of view. And even you could put, with Darryl Donovan coming back to the team, you could put Cian Lynch at centre forward. So you could do these sorts of things as well. And even in midfield the other day, I know he has done it in previous seasons, Cian Lynch. But you could see now the other day, midfield kind of didn't suit him. I think centre-forward kind of suits him more. So that's the thing that Limerick could do in the next few weeks to go for this drive for five. But they're on the edge of history. And I do think they're the favourites to win it right now. But I get Don Logue's comments from League Sunday last night. There's a lot of pressure on a five-in-a-row team. We saw Kilkenny would do the five-in-a-row in 2010. And look what happened. So this is a huge year for Limerick as well, and they've been at it for so many years, for so many years, as I mentioned. And as well as that, with the Munster Championship, it's cutthroat, and Limerick have got through it every season. So it'd be interesting to see what attitude they have this season in going for this drive for five. If they do it, it'll be a miraculous achievement, and it'd be one of the greatest achievements that we've ever talked about in Irish sport. But there's still a long road to go down yet. But I'm still confident that Limerick can achieve the 5 in a row. I think they're an unreal team. They're an awesome team on their pomp. And I still believe in them. I know a lot of people would question me and all that after the performance on Saturday. But maybe it was just a blip in the road. It was a league semi-final. They brush it under the carpet. They'll move on. And let's not forget as well, before we leave this game, Limerick won the league last season. And they started Munster very slow. So maybe this is a blessing in disguise for them. So watch this space. I do think Limerick will improve as the season goes on. And I think they could be even primed for the drive for five, but it's a huge year for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, and Kilkenny, I'm sure, will be in the conversation as they have been over the last few years. But yeah, Limerick are certainly still the favourites for me. Massive win for Clare, 124 to Tipperary, with Tipperary finishing with 2 goals and 13 points. Clare, obviously, 7 points up at half-time. Tipperary managed to pull it back to 3 points in the second half and make it a little bit more of a game of it. But I thought, all in all, Clare were fairly comfortable. Aidan McCarthy with 8 points. Davy Fitzgerald with a goal and 3 points was very impressive. David Reedy, I thought, was very good as well. So all in all, solid performance from Clare, and completely brushed Tipperary aside. And a lot of people were expecting this to, I suppose both people were, people were expecting both games to be very competitive. But I thought this was very comfortable from a Clare perspective.
It was just an awesome performance from a very, very good team, and a team that are taking the league seriously. I thought that at the start of the season, because Clare, what they need to gain a bit of confidence, number one, to beat Kilkenny on a regular basis, which they have the chance to do in the league final in a few weeks' time. And number two, to win a league title, to get a national trophy on the board. And Brian Lohan could kill two birds with one stone in a couple of weeks' time. So it's exciting times for Clare, it really is. And they looked really, really good. They looked in dominant form against a decent enough Tipperary side without Shane O'Donnell, without Ryan Taylor, and most importantly of all, without Tony Kelly. So I think Clare, and as well as that, David McInerney wasn't playing in the team. So that's another one. So I do think Clare are on the right road to even challenge for the All-Ireland this season. They look on the right road to even challenge for the league as well. They look favourites going to the next game against Kilkenny, despite Kilkenny's win. They looked awesome, Clare. Like, for a while there, they had 70% shot accuracy for large parts of the game. They had 62% overall, but that was because of the last few minute wides. But Clare look really, really good, and there's no doubt about that. And yeah, they look in brilliant form at the moment. As for Tipperary, like, when you look at stats, actually, Clare at 40 shots, Tipperary at 35. The main difference speaks for itself, the shooting. Tipperary's free taking the other day was really, really uncharacteristically poor. Jason Ford missed a few. Garrow O'Connor missed both his frees. Sean Ryan came on and didn't do well either on the frees. He did get a couple of points, fair play to him, when coming onto the pitch. But it just looked a bit off for Tipperary. And in the Limerick game as well, their free-taking was unusually terrible. So if Tipperary are to challenge for getting out of Munster, getting even remotely close to an All-Ireland this year, they have to improve in that department. And you would have thought that was a shoo-in for Tipperary with the players that they have, Jason Ford and Garrod O'Connor in particular. So something needs to fix in Liam Cahill's team as well. So a lot of reasons to worry for Tipperary. They got two goals to keep them in at James Morris in the first half, albeit David Fitzgerald got one in more or less straight away. And then obviously with Sean Hayes' goal, you thought, okay, Tipperary are coming back into it. But Clare, the brilliant team they are, they showed resolve. They got back into the game with relative ease. They won it in the end. So yeah, it was a good win for Clare. But for Tipperary, even look at some stats now yesterday, it was really, really good sorting. 42% shot accuracy overall, 40% shot accuracy from frees, which you would have thought would be a given for Tipperary over the last few seasons. So a lot of reasons to worry for Liam Cahill's side.
Absolutely, yeah. And like, considering Clare obviously been without Tony Kelly for the entirety of the league, like, the fact they're looking so good, like, is there an argument this is the best Clare have looked since they won that All-Ireland in 2013?
I think there's an argument for it, yeah. I do think, because the main thing was, there was no doubt about quality, and there was no doubt about Clare putting it up to Limerick, because they have done over the last few seasons in miraculous games. They produced one of the best Munster final performances they've ever seen, the man, in 2022, but they still lost the game, and they beat Limerick eventually last season. The main thing for them was, and as I mentioned before, number one, the National Trophy, number two, Kilkenny. They beat Kilkenny in the league, and they're en route to beat them again, possibly, in the league final. If they can do that, I think they'll bring their confidence on a Trojan amount. They look really, really good at the moment. And not just Tony Kelly out, Shane O'Donnell out as well, and David McInerney, and Ryan Taylor. So Clare look really, really good. And even the players coming into the team as well. Mark Rogers even went off. Aidan McCarthy came on. No worries at all. And what was the worry for Clare last season in particular? And I say this about them in tight-knit situation in games, that the refereeing decisions and stuff like that wasn't the problem. The problem was them shooting ridiculous whites, and they had very bad shot accuracies. This season, the league, they seem to brush that under the carpet now. They seem to have a free taker, whether it's Mark Rogers, whether it's Aidan McCarthy. They seem to be getting them over the bar each and every time. Like, even their shooting accuracy for frees was 90% yesterday. That's incredible, in fairness, considering. I know it's something small, but Clare haven't achieved that over the last few seasons. So it's definitely one aspect that they can build on to go on and eventually beat Limerick and Kilkenny later in the summer. So I do think Clare are in a really good position. But at the same time, they have to beat Kilkenny in a few weeks' time, or else they could go back to the old days of shooting wide unceremoniously, or losing a bit of confidence or whatever. But that Kilkenny game in the league, I never thought I'd say this about a league final, but that game for Clare, I think, is absolutely crucial. Just to give a bit more confidence in knowing that they can beat Kilkenny for a second time in a row.
Yeah, when's the last time Clare won the league, actually? It's been a long time, isn't it?
I think it's 2015-16. I think it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I think there was one there. Yeah, there was actually, yeah.
I think it was, yeah. Under Davey Fitz, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. No, look, I think it is huge for Clare, like, especially after some of the recent defeats to Kilkenny and everything else in All-Ireland semi-finals. Like, I think if they could get over the line, the amount of confidence it would give them going into Munster, Tony Kelly maybe to come back, as you said, Shane O'Donnell maybe to come back in at some stage as well, be absolutely huge from a Clare perspective. Tipperary at the same time, though, like to lose by this kind of margin, maybe not necessarily the margin, but the performance, as you said, like 42% accuracy. There have been some question marks over Liam Cahill and Tipperary this year. You look at some of the performances and some of the games, like, oh, like, I think they've had a lot of good moments, Tipperary, this year, but it's hard to know if they're really kicking on under Liam Cahill in the way that we expected that they would.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation for Tipperary. And just for context of the Clare, I just checked it on Wikipedia there. They last won it in 2016. So yeah, they won it pretty recently, but it will be a big game for them nonetheless against Kilkenny in a few weeks' time. But yeah, it's massive for Tipperary. I don't know what's gone on. Like, up until the Limerick game, at the start of the Limerick game, people were thinking, okay, Tipperary are pushing along nicely, despite the stuff that was going on off the field with Kildang and stuff that was going on with Liam Cahill and stuff like that. But then the Limerick game, they were very, very poor from shooting. And then yesterday, it got even worse. So I don't know what it was. Like, there's no question about their goal getting. Jay Morris is an absolute dynamite when finding the back of the net. So is Mark Kehoe when he plays. I don't think there's a doubt that Tipperary have goals in them. They always have done. They're a brilliant Tipperary side for getting goals. But the wides they're getting, they're just so uncharacteristic. Like, even Jason Ford, shooting accuracy yesterday, I'm bringing it up now, I think it was something terrible yesterday. I think he got 6 points yesterday and he had 15 shots. So that's 9 misses for Jason Ford.
Yeah,
that's a worry. It is a worry for Tipperary going to the championship. And even Garrett O'Connor, he had only 2 shots in the game, missed both of them, and looked good for UN in the Sigurdsson Cup, or the Fitzgibbon Cup, should I say. So it's a reason to worry for Tipperary, considering, as I mentioned beforehand, the cutthroat nature of Munster. Like, Cork are waiting in the wings. They seem to be getting a bit of confidence with Alan Connolly getting 6 goals in 2 games. So they'll be waiting at the wings as well in the next few weeks. So I do think it's a reason to worry for Tipperary. I don't think it was a disgrace whatsoever. I just think the wides were just killing them. Like, 35 shots, and to lose a game is absolutely... And to take 15 out of 35 shots is just awful for them. And Tipperary need to improve soon rather than later to go on a Munster charge, potentially an All-Ireland charge. So, yeah, things have to turn around fast for Liam Cahill, or else, like, and Liam Sheedy mentioned this in League Sunday as well last night, that the Tipperary folks seem to get on the manager's back very, very often. If Tipperary have a poor season this year, after a poor enough season last year losing to Galway in the quarterfinal, there'd be a lot of pressure on Liam Cahill, especially with the circumstance he came into the Tipperary job under. So, yeah, it's a big year for Tipperary.
It definitely is. It definitely is. All right. Who would you be backing to win the league final then, between Clare and Kilkenny? I mean, it's a hard one to know who's the favourites, to be honest. I reckon Clare maybe slightly, but what do you reckon?
I'm going to go for Clare. I said this from the start, so I think they need a national trophy on the board and to have the upper hand on Kilkenny. So they can kill two birds with one stone, as I mentioned before. So I do think Clare will go on and win the final in this game. And it'd be interesting afterwards to see what sort of season they have in the Munster Championship and the All-Ireland Championship.
There we go. Yeah, probably be back in Clare as well. But let us know in the comments, anyone who is tuning in. Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up here. Anyone who's tuned in, if you could hit the like button and subscribe, that will be very much appreciated. Make sure to check out Matthew's podcast as well, the Gaelic Statsman podcast, when you get a chance. And yeah, let us know in the comments your thoughts on any of the games, whether it be football or hurling. And we will speak to you all in the next one.